our computers good? Okay. Can read?
Yeah, it looks like they just nicely download. So, have you been at the conference?
Thank you.
think of five of us.
Just looking at the computer screen. I think it's just...
Is this thing?
Did you need to get into it?
No, it was just... I was just...
Oh.
Making sure.
How you advance it. Does the mouse do that?
Okay.
I'm across.
The left.
I'm sitting in for Susie Spear.
Right. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. I am Ann Mahoney from the Center for Substance Abuse Treatment, and I'm here this morning to moderate our session on screening and brief intervention. And I haven't quite figured out where I stand next to the microphone, so my apologies at 8:30 in the morning for that. I'm going to moderate the session, and my first job is to introduce Dr. Jack Stein, who is my colleague from CSAT and who oversees the ESPERT project for CSAT's Division of Services Improvement. Jack.
Wow, I even get applause before I even speak. Thank you. You're right, Anne. This is a little intimidating. Can you hear me? Uh-oh. There we go. Good morning, everybody. Anne, thank you. And I want to also thank our panel here that we had an opportunity to put together these last number of months. Thank you all for being here on the last day of the conference. So early in the morning to talk about the ESPERT, the Screening Brief Intervention Referral to Treatment Initiative. I'm only going to take about 10 quick minutes to give everyone an overview. And before I go, of course, I have no relationships to disclose. But what I'd like to do is to do a very brief introduction and overview of ESPERT, and particularly the CSAT or the SAMHSA initiative that's been underway these last number of years. So specifically, I'd like to talk a little about why ESPERT, and that may be a given to many of you here, but just to review a little about why do we even need to be talking or should be talking about ESPERT these days, brief understanding of what ESPERT is, a little about its effectiveness, the core components of it, and then wrap up with a quick look at the SAMHSA initiative. So, to start with, why ESPERT? Some of you may have seen this. This has actually become a very popular slide that we at SAMHSA have been using to really drive home a really important point. This data come from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, or the NISDA data, that SAMHSA comes out with about every once a year, which is really a snapshot of what's happening nationwide. And the bottom line here is this actually falls under what we call the treatment gap. And what you see here is, based on the data, that over 20 million people in the country need but do not receive some type of treatment for illicit drug or alcohol use. So now what you're looking at is that pie is really over 20 million people in the country, and this is now a breakdown of those individuals. If you look to the right side, you see that a very small percentage of them indicated that they felt they needed treatment and made an effort. They still didn't get it, but at least they made an effort. A larger percentage, about 4.6, said they felt they needed treatment, but they never really became motivated enough to actually make an effort. The whopping large percent, or as our director, Dr. Wesley Clark, refers to as the big red slice, is over 95% of the individuals in need of treatment did not even feel they needed treatment. So this means we have our work cut out for ourselves, no doubt, in helping individuals who are in need of some type of services, but are just not ready to, in fact, recognize it or, in fact, get motivated to receive treatment. And this, of course, is where an early intervention in a variety of different settings may be useful. Which leads us to my next slide here about substance use-related visits to emergency departments. We've seen about 400,000 ED visits that involve alcohol in combination with other drugs. Of recent past, we're seeing an increasing mentions of prescription drug misuse. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the famous alcohol pyramid, and traditionally, our substance abuse interventions have primarily targeted those people with the most severe cases. And what ESPERT really is all about is trying to reach individuals a little lower on that pyramid, those at risk and even those at even lower risk. So understanding ESPERT, one of the, I think, most key terms with ESPERT is the concept of taking advantage of what we call the teachable moment, that moment of educational opportunity when a person is likely to be disposed to learn something. And perhaps what better place might be someplace like a trauma center or an emergency department. So for us, the goals of ESPERT are to embed screening, brief intervention, and treatment into primary care settings, such as emergency departments, community health centers, trauma centers, identifying individuals who don't perceive a need for treatment, and helping move them into the appropriate services. Three basic goals. So then, of course, the question comes up, well, this sounds all well and nice, but is it actually effective? Well, the effectiveness with respect to ESPERT has actually been well documented with alcohol use. There's been numerous randomized studies conducted. Birk did a meta-analysis back in 2003 that showed an overall reduction of about 56% in the number of drinks. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends alcohol screening in medical care centers. And screening a brief intervention is now required for certification in level one trauma centers. So it's really been very much embedded with respect to alcohol. With drug use, the research is evolving and it's promising, but I'd be remiss to stand here and say that it's been definitely shown to be as effective with illicit drug use. There was a very good study done by the Bernsteins in 2005, which was a randomized controlled trial. And the World Health Organization has been doing a randomized controlled trial in multiple sites internationally, again demonstrating the effectiveness. This is a quick glimpse of the Bernstein study that actually showed, compared to a control, and this was done in emergency departments, that we saw a significant increase in abstinence rates 6 months for both cocaine and opioids. And this is a quick glimpse of the World Health Organization's study that has been going on for the last number of years that compared to a control, the brief intervention showed definitely an impact. In this case, I believe it's 3 months follow-up. So the core components of ESPERT, of course, it starts with a screen, which is an identification of substance use-related problems, followed by a brief intervention to raise awareness, and then a brief treatment, which is often based on a cognitive behavioral approach. Of course, an individual based on the screen could actually be referred right for a brief treatment. Or in more severe cases, referral to a specialty treatment center, which of course, based on the nature of the screen, can result in a direct referral as well. Screening, a very quick method to identify individuals based on brief questionnaires that have been standardized and validated. And there are a number of tools out there that some of my colleagues, I suspect, will refer to, the AUDIT, the DAST, and most commonly these days is the ASSIST, which actually assesses for both alcohol as well as illicit drugs. The brief interventions usually last between 1 and 3 sessions. In fact, most cases, they're usually only about one session. And the concept of a brief intervention is really to provide some basic feedback, inform the individual of hazardous consumption use, assess the readiness to change, negotiate some goals and strategies, and arrange for follow-up treatment. A lot to ask for in a short period of time. But again, it's not counseling, it's not therapy, as opposed to providing feedback, information, and assessing for change. The referral to treatment, of course, is for individuals requiring more extensive resources. And what's key with a referral to treatment is establishing a network of providers. That's critical, and it's not, in the discussion that Rick Rawson and I just had this morning, it's simply not just handing somebody a piece of paper with a piece of information about where the referral is. We lose too many people in a referral to treatment that way. So to wrap up, our initiative has been on the way since 2003, and this is just a quick snapshot where we are nationwide. In our cohorts that we funded in 2003 and 2005, we funded both state grants as well as colleges and universities. This is just a list of those awards from 2003 and then another cohort, actually in 2006. And then just recently, we awarded 4 new grants, one to Alaska Tribal Organization, the Tanana Chiefs, and then also to the states of West Virginia, Missouri, and Georgia. These are 5-year grants. They're issued to governor's offices, and you'll be hearing from some of our grantees actually shortly. To date, and this is pretty amazing, over 700,000 people have been screened through these programs. And as you can see in our, what we call our GIPRA data, which are basically the program standard administrative data reporting, that we've seen across the board, as you see in the bottom there, these are our national outcome measures. We've actually seen some very significant changes between intake and 6-month follow-up, particularly with respect to substance abuse, no arrests, employment, social connectedness, and housing. So we're optimistic. These are not research studies that you're looking at. This is administrative data. And our hope is to actually link up with our colleagues at NIAAA and NIDA to actually study some of these programs which we're actually doing. Let me end by talking about sustainability of screening a brief intervention. One of the most exciting policy changes that has occurred these last number of years is the establishment of what we call healthcare codes. So for example, Medicaid has now established what we call HCPCS codes that allow for a reimbursement of screening of brief intervention in medical care settings. Medicare also had these codes in place, and even the commercial health plans, which we use the CPT codes, and for those of us in the room that have private insurance, when you go to your physician, they conduct a test. This is that code that they often check when you leave, and they get charged to your insurance company. The key, of course, particularly with Medicaid is a state-based oriented type of reimbursement system. So every state is now in the position to determine whether or not they're willing to actually, quote unquote, turn on these codes. And that's a lot of the work that we're currently doing. And lastly, in terms of sustainability, we've just awarded 11 grants to medical residency programs throughout the nation. The goal of this is to embed SBI activities into medical training and residency program for physicians and other healthcare providers as early as possible in their professional career. These are 5-year grants, and we're very excited about the potential that in the next 5 to 10 years that we're beginning to see changes in the culture of how medicine is practiced with the incorporation of SBIRT. And to leave you, we have on the CSAT website or on the SAMHSA website, if you just go to www.samhsa.gov, you'll easily be linked to the SBIRT website, which is pretty a nice one-stop shopping for all things SBIRT. So with that, Ann, I'll stop. I think that's hopefully a good intro to what our other speakers will be talking about.
Thank you, Jack. We're having a slight shift in the order of the presenters. So our next presenter is Dr. Rick Rawson from the UCLA Department of Psychiatry, who is presenting today on behalf of his UCLA colleague, Dr. Susan Speer, on screening and brief intervention in a mental health clinic, the public health agenda, or mental health therapy. And I just want to say that this is not one of the traditional SBIRT programs that Jack referred to, but as the incoming